Perek Dalet Pasuk Hey, page 308 on top. We're learning over here the discussion between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to go take the Jews out of Egypt, and they should do, I'm going to get them out of Egypt, and they'll believe in you. And Moshe Rabbeinu keeps saying to Hashem, no, they're not going to believe me, the Jews. They're not going to listen to you. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking negatively about the Jews. So Hashem, in the recent psukim that we're learning, Hashem says to Moshe, what do you have in your hand? So he says, I have a stick. So he says, throw it to the ground, and the stick turns into a snake. And Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from the snake, and then Hashem says, okay, grab onto the tail, and it's going to become a stick again, a staff again. So it says, why did Hashem make the stick turn into a snake? Because Moshe Rabbeinu spoke bad about the Jewish people, spoke Lashon Hara, and all evil originates from original sin, which was the Nachash, the snake that caused Adam and Chav, Adam and Eve, to sin. So therefore, Hashem showing Moshe Rabbeinu, look what you're doing. You're doing evil like the snake did. You know, the snake also caused them not to believe in God, not to believe that Hashem told them not to eat from the tree, and you're doing exactly the same thing. Okay, so that's what we're up to now, Pasuk Hey. So he says, L'man yaminu, in order that the Jews would believe, ki nira elecha Hashem alakei aveisam, that the God of your father, alakei Avraham, alakei Yitzchok, alakei Yaakov, that they should believe you, that God appeared to you. Because if you come to the Jews, and you show them that the stick could become a snake, then they'll believe you, because you're doing miracles. But then Hashem said another thing. Hashem said to Moshe another time, a second time. And he said, put your hand in your bosom, and Hashem said, put your hand in your chest, he put it in his chest, and he took it out, his hand became white, like leprosy. Well, shalag is, it became leprosy as white as snow. Because according to the Torah, leprosy is the color white. So Hashem is giving Moshe Rabbeinu a second sign. And these are all miracles that he's going to prove to the Jewish people that Hashem was the one that sent him. But Hashem is showing Moshe Rabbeinu, meanwhile, that he spoke bad against the Jews, again as Lashon Hara. So first Hashem is showing him that you became like a snake. The snake caused evil. You're causing evil by speaking bad against the Jews. Then he says, well, as we know later on in Chumash, the Torah speaks about a person who has leprosy, which is, by the way, we learned many times, not the medical leprosy. It's an impurity of leprosy. It has nothing to do with what doctors call leprosy today. This was a sign from Hashem. So it says that if a person spoke evil tongue, he was sent out, he got leprosy, and he was sent outside of the camp. And in fact, leprosy, in Hebrew is called mitzora. Mitzora is two words, motzi ra. He brings out bad. Because when you speak Lashon Hara, you speak bad about somebody, you're bringing out their bad. And therefore, the punishment of Lashon Hara is that you become leprosy. Why is the connection between that? Because when a person speaks Lashon Hara, they basically cause fights between people. If I speak bad about you, so it's going to cause people not to like you or whatever. So what's the punishment of leprosy? Hashem works punishment, midah keneged midah, deed for deed. So therefore, if you speak Lashon Hara, you caused fights between husband and wife, between friend and friend. Hashem says, a leper is sent out of the camp, badad yeshiv mechutz lamachana. You have to sit outside the camp until your leprosy is healed. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, as the second sign of miracles that he should prove to the Jewish people, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, number one, you acted like the snake. Secondly, I want to prove to you that you spoke Lashon Hara because you became your hand turned into leprosy. Why? Because he spoke Lashon Hara against the Jews. Why is Lashon Hara called Meitzirah? And this is a very interesting thing. The Gemara says that when you speak Lashon Hara, it kills three people. Lashon Hara kills the talker, the listener, and the one they're talking about. So the obvious question is, as the commentaries ask in the Gemara, I understand the talker is punished because he speaks evil. The listener I know is punished because no listener, no talker. I mean, in order to talk Lashon Hara, you need somebody listening to you. If there's nobody listening to you, you're not going to talk Lashon Hara. So he's also to blame. But the question is, Nebuch, the poor guy they're talking about, why does Lashon Hara kill him? I mean, why is he to blame? Why does he suffer from the fact that people speak Lashon Hara about them? So Rabbeinu Yehuda explains, and this is brought down in many different places, Rabbeinu Yehuda explains that the quality of speech is a revelation of something concealed. Like we discussed many times, when it says in Chumash Hashem spoke, it's not, God forbid, Hashem has a mouth and Hashem talks. I mean, God forbid, the Rambam says if you say God has a mouth then he talks, you're not Picatus, you're an unbeliever. Hashem doesn't have a mouth and Hashem doesn't talk. What does it mean in Chumash over here, what we're learning, Vayemer Hashem, or Hashem said, let there be light, and let there be this, and let there be that. What it means is, what does speech do? Speech is a revelation of something which is hidden. For instance, if I think, you don't know what I'm thinking. When I say it, I'm revealing to you what I think. If I have a feeling, let's say I have a feeling of love towards you, but you don't know that I love you, you don't know that that feeling is revealed. How do you reveal something which is hidden? Speech reveals something which is hidden. So the same way Rabbeinu Yehuda explains, a person might have bad, but the bad is dormanted. It's quiet, it's dead, so to speak. It's there, but it's sleeping. When somebody talks about your bad, they're actually revealing openly your bad, that now what was sleeping now becomes awakened. And therefore it even hurts you also. Because the fact that somebody spoke bad about you, they're revealing into the world your evil, which until now was concealed. So that's why the Gemara says, Lashon Hara kills three. Not only does it kill the talker, not only does it kill the listener, but it also kills the person that's talking about. And that's why Mitzera, the nation of Benin's hand, became leprosy. Mitzera's Mitzera, they actually bring out the bad that the person has. Just like when you speak good about somebody, it reveals their good attributes. When you speak bad about somebody, it reveals the bad attributes, and it has a dangerous effect because now the person's evil became, to a certain extent, became revealed.
What did Moshe say that it was so bad?
He said, the Jews are not going to believe me.
Like,
no, because the bottom line is the Jews did believe. Let me tell you something. If Hashem says to you, the Jews are going to believe, and you come to Hashem and say, no, you're wrong, they're not going to believe, that's not bad?
He's just stating what he thinks. He didn't say anything bad about
them. He says a fact. He says, no, he says, before, V'yam Meisha. Meisha said to God, V'hein lo ya, in the beginning of chapter 4, they are not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to my voice. Hashem says people will believe. So he comes along and says, no, they're not going to believe. So he's speaking bad against the Jews. And the truth is that when Moshe Rabbeinu later on comes to the Jews, right away it says, Vayamin, they believed him. Right? As always, Hashem is right. So Hashem is showing Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says a fact. The Gemara Menacha says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oyev Yisrael Hayu. Moshe Rabbeinu, by nature, was a Jew lover. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look throughout Chumash, stuck up for the Jews, risking his own existence. He says, God, if you don't forgive the Jews by the golden calf, I don't want to have anything to do with your Torah. Yeah? Mecheni erased me from Torah.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Well, come when we learn Kisis in about 4 years, we'll get there. And We'll learn about it. Now, Meshe Rabbeinu, his Torah is called Torah's Meshe, right? Torah Tzivalonu Meshe. Torah's Meshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Yet Meshe Rabbeinu says to God, if you're not going to forgive the good Jews, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Not with your Torah, not with you. You know, God could have said, okay, get lost. God doesn't need him, so to speak. Meshe Rabbeinu, whenever the Jews were bad, Meshe Rabbeinu stuck up for the Jews. Hashem says, Meshe Rabbeinu, get out of here, let me destroy the Jewish people. Meshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not letting you. All throughout Chumash. So it wasn't that Meshe Rabbeinu hated the Jews to such an extent that he would speak bad about the Jews. Meshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem that the Jews are in such a low level, you need a great, powerful revelation of godliness to redeem them. Okay? Hashem says, Meshe Rabbeinu, you go to the Jews. Meshe Rabbeinu says, me? The Jews are in such a low level, you're going to need you, God, yourself, to get the Jews out. What are you sending me for? For me, the Jews are not going to believe. They're going to say to me, Lo yinir elach Hashem, like it says in the first pasuk, God didn't appear to you. Meaning, Meshe Rabbeinu said, and with his humility, Meshe Rabbeinu is saying, me? The Jews are in the 49th level of impurity. You expect me to get the Jews awakened, the pintal yidin, the Jew? Meshe Rabbeinu says, send you, go take yourself. What do you want from me? So on Meshe Rabbeinu's perspective, right, it wasn't that, I mean, because this, you don't have to be a brilliant guy to understand. God says they'll believe. And Meshe Rabbeinu says, no, they're not going to believe. But Meshe Rabbeinu knows better than God. I mean, a moron is not going to say, Hashem says, they'll believe and I say no. I mean, you know, what's the argument between you and God? It's like when Mashiach comes, the world has an interesting, not a joke, but the world, when Mashiach comes, is going to be a big meal for the tzaddikim. So what's going to be at the meal? There's going to be the levyoson, the leviathan fish, you know, and there's going to be the shor habar, this big axe, that it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht and feed it to the tzaddikim. At the same time, it says, in the meal is going to be fish. So the world says, so to speak, why does there have to be fish and meat? Because the Hasidim, you know, the Hasidim are going to come and see meat on the table. And they're going to say, who shechted the meat? They're going to say, God. God shechted the sherba. They say, you know what, I don't trust him. Give me the fish. But it's Pascha, the Hasidim, you know what I mean? Yeah.
The legend in horror plays, or kills three people. So if the person says something bad about the third person, what if what he's saying about the third person is not a fact?
Well, that's not Lashon Hara, that's Motzi Shemra, that's even worse. Lashon Hara is when what you're saying is true, but it's bad. There's a worst Aveda, Motzi Shemra is when you say bad about somebody, it's not even true. Let's say you say, I saw this guy eat tray. Let's say, and it's not even true.
It's not Lashon Hara, it's worse than Lashon Hara.
It's worse than Lashon Hara.
The person isn't killed because it's not true about it.
Well, when they smoke this fire, the fact that they spoke bad about somebody, even if it's not true, has a negative impact upon the person. Because if the person wouldn't have any connection to the negativity they're speaking, they wouldn't speak about it.
The question comes to mind, what if it is true, and you gotta let your friend know about the third person?
Why do you have to let him know?
Because he has to, you know, let's say if they're going to make a business transaction.
Then it's not Lashon Hara.
Yeah,
but it depends why you're saying it. Listen, if he wants to do business with you, let's say, and I know, bless him, forgive me, I know he's a ganef. Okay, let's say, right? And you ask me if you should do business with him. And I know he's a ganef. So logically, I have an obligation to tell you, you know what? He's a ganef. Don't do business with him. But that, if I tell it to you because I don't want you to lose money, right? So then it's not Lashon Hara. But if I'm telling you because I enjoy telling you he's a ganef and I really enjoy it, and this God knows. That's why all these things it says, V'yareisem elakecha, fear God, because you can't come along and say, I didn't know, you know, I didn't, I thought, I, God knows what you think and what you feel. But if I'm telling you because I enjoy it, that's a different story. Then it's Lashon Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling God, listen God, the Jews are on a level that they need you. Don't send me. That's all. Bottom line. He said, take them out yourself. Shlachno biatishloch. Take the Jews out. Don't hack me a Chinese with me doing it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not worthy, and the Jews are not going to listen to me, because who am I that the Jews will listen to? Okay. So now he says, in Pasig Zion, V'yemer, and Hashem says to Moshe, see, and here you have to look at the Pasuk very carefully. In the sixth Pasuk, in Pasuk Vav, Hashem says to Moshe, put your hand inside your chest, take it out, and it became white, like leprosy. That means, when did it become leprosy? Not when he put the hand into the chekeb in his bosom, in his chest, but when he took it out. But now it says in Zion, V'yemer, Hashem said to him, Hashem yotcha al chekecha. Now take, put your hand back into your chest. Vayashiv yadei al cheke, and he did. Vayetziya mecheke, and he took it out. V'neshav kibsari, was already back to normal. Why? Because in the first pasuk it doesn't say that he took it out mecheke. If you look in pasuk vav, it says hine yad vayetziya, he took it out, and it became white. In the second pasuk it said, he took it out of his chest. Which means, like Rashi says, as soon as he took it out of his chest, it already became back to normal. The first one was after he took it out from the chest. And therefore Rashi says, from here you see, Mikan, that good comes much quicker than bad. When Hashem is doing bad and Hashem is doing good, good comes quicker than bad. Because the leprosy took it longer to become leprosy than it did to stop being leprosy. What?
You use the word bosom, and chest, and here it says bosom.
I use both.
That's the same thing.
Okay, whatever. It's more or less the same.
I understand you're a woman here, you don't want
to. Okay, it's in the same place.
Okay.
So he says, V'hoya in Pasik Ches, Hashem is continuing talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, says the Hoyan will be him, the Yaminulach, if the Jews won't believe you. And they won't listen to the first miracle that you showed. And they're gonna believe the second miracle. Okay, so simply Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen. You're gonna do the miracles. If they won't listen to the first one, that the staff becomes a snake, they'll listen to the second one. So the Mefarshim ask, of the two, which one's a greater miracle? The first one's a greater miracle. The Pasuk says if they won't listen to the first miracle, they'll listen to the second. But the first one's a much greater miracle than the second. If they're not going to be turned down by the first miracle, how in the world are they going to be turned down by the second miracle? So he says, what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows. Tell the Jews that because of you, I got leprosy. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jews, why didn't I think they'll listen to them? Because you're in such a low level, that the Jews are not going to listen to you. So he says, and the Jews then will accept it. Why? Because the Jews will understand, because they know already, whenever you speak bad against Lashon Hara, you become leprosy. Okay? So he says as follows, that's one way of learning. Another way of learning, and some of Farshim learn, what does it mean, the first miracle and the second miracle? Hashem did here three miracles. First, that the stick became a snake. Secondly, that the snake became a stick. It's also a miracle. And that the hand turned into leprosy. So some commentaries explain, what does Hashem mean, the first miracle and the second miracle? He means the first miracle of the stick becoming a snake, And the second miracle of the snake becoming a stick. But he's not talking about the leprosy bit. Now, Hashem is telling the Jews that, I'm telling Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jews, that basically, you have to prove with miracles. Then in Pasuk Tes, he continues. He said, V'hoyim le'yaminu gam l'shnei ha'isis ha'ila. What happens if the Jews will not listen even to these two miracles? He said, V'le'yishmun le'keilachan, they won't listen to your voice. So I'm giving you a third miracle. V'lekachtem mimeimei ha'ya'er, you should take from the waters of the Nile. V'shafachta yabashi, you should put it onto the dry land. V'yamayim ha'shatikach min ha'ya'er, and the water that you're going to take from the Nile, v'hoyul adam be'yabashis, is going to turn into blood. So Hashem is already hinting, as Rashi comments, and he's alluding to the first of the 10 plagues. Now, which one is the 10 plagues? The first one is blood. Why did Hashem bring out from the Nile? So Rashi comments, because when God punishes the nations, the first thing he does is punish them with their gods. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile. That was there because the Nile used to overflow to irrigate the land of Egypt. So they used to worship the Nile. So the first thing that God wanted to hit, so to speak, was their God, so he hit the Nile. So this is the simple meaning. Now, why is this third miracle different than the other two? Because in the first two miracles, it went back to its original form. The stick became snake, and then the snake became stick. The second miracle, his hand turned into leprosy, and then the hand turned back to normal. By the blood and the water stayed blood. So what's the impression of the Dam? That the Egyptians will be completely finished. They'll never go back to their old power. And now, just like the water became blood, so therefore the Egyptians will not have any tkuma, any permanency, and they shouldn't think that it just became colored water. The pasuk is v'ayu ladam beyabashes, it's going to remain blood.
Did the Egyptians know of the miracle of the stick turning into a snake also?
He showed it to them.
But they were able to do it also?
Right.
How were they able to know this and not others?
Oh, so the Mefarshim explain over here, in fact, why is it that he said if they don't believe the first two, they're going to believe the third one. Why should the third one be different than the first two? Because he brings down the Mamleis, there's a whole story earlier in Chumash. Witchcraft, black magic, doesn't work around water. So therefore, it's possible the Egyptians will say that the stick becomes a snake. They did it, the Chatumen did it. Paris magicians did it. To take other things, the hand to become leprosy, that they also did. That they could also do. But around water, you can't have kishif. And therefore, they're not going to be able to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was witchcraft, and therefore he was able to take the mayim and make it into blood. What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
What about tea? There's a lot of black magic sometimes as tea.
I don't know. He said over here that black magic gets melted a lot of times with water.
Oh, because she knows something I know too, that's why we're laughing.
Okay. Now, there's another question. Why is it that Hashem made, and the question is really later by Dan, but the question is over here also, why did Hashem make the blood, the water turn into blood? Hashem could have made the water turn into Crown Royal, Johnny Walker, Pinch. And why is it that Hashem made that the water should turn into blood?
Tell mommy what her husband talking about, booze? I never thought that of him.
Yeah, you're supposed to drink it, not talk about it.
I don't drink it anymore.
Okay, one second. So, the question. Nama ben kumach zachemish. So the question is, why did Hashem actually turn the water into blood? Why not into something else? I mean, chocolate milk. I mean, somebody, what's the thing in the blood? So explain, the Rebbe explains in Asicha that the concept of water is coldness. Water is cold. Especially water from the Nile definitely was not a heated pool. It was cold. Dam is blood, which is warm. The message of the Makkah and the message over here that Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu is you have to transform the coldness of idolatry into the warmth of Torah Mitzvahs. Because blood is warm, blood is life, blood is chayis. So Hashem says you have to be able to transform the coldness of Egypt, the coldness of idol worshipping, the coldness of a Nile, and you have to turn it into blood. Blood symbolizes life. The nefesh is in the blood, the pasuk says, kinefesh abasa bedami. So that's the purpose of the Makkah, is actually to show what is the role of a Jew to transform the coldness of Egypt into the warmth of Yiddishkeit. So that's what he actually did. So Hashem is giving him a whole bunch of miracles to prove. The truth is, there's an expression, you know, it's in Kislev, it's a Chassidish a month. Tonight's the Rebbe's wedding anniversary. There's a lot of Yitzchak Kislev is coming up. There's an expression Chassidim said that by the Alter Rebbe, it's gevalget nisim unter den Tisch. By the Alter Rebbe, miracles were rolling under the table. There was an abundance of miracles. And nobody bothered to pick them up. Meaning, the Hasidim of old, miracles didn't turn them on. Now, nowadays, if somebody performs a miracle, everybody gets excited and they become a great person. And, you know, all that, miracles turn a person on. In the olden times, when people were into much deeper things than superficial things, miracles never excited them. Because, as Alter Rebbe himself once said, in order to do a miracle, you have to be one tefach, one hand breadth above world. The second you're a little bit greater than world, a little bit greater than nature, you're able to control the world. You're able to control nature. But in the Alter Rebbe's time, they have what's called Alevcha Chochma, Alevcha Bina, 2,000 cubits, 1,000, not a tefach, a handbreadth, 2,000 amas, 2,000 cubits of Chochma and Bina is infinitely greater than performing miracles. Nevertheless, in fact, the Rambam says that the Jews didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles that he did. That's what the Rambam writes. The Jews didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles he did. The thing that made them believe was seeing the intellectual revelations of godliness, which is much greater, much deeper than miracles. Because just before, because somebody is able to perform miracles, makes them a drop higher than the world.
How were those manifested?
One second. When the Jews were in Egypt on a very low level, it was necessary for Hashem to wake them up, so to speak, with miracles. But that was because the Jews were on this low level. I'll tell you something, I mean, people might not agree with what I'm saying. You know, now they have all these codes for the Torah and all these unbelievable things they found. You know, there's books already written on it. I once went to when it first started coming out, they went to, somebody was speaking about it, so I went to listen. I tell you the truth, I was extremely turned off from it. I was extremely turned off. Because this is not the greatness of Torah that you could find this in Torah and that in Torah through, you know, through these computerized things. Because the truth of the matter is, I heard from mathematicians, you could do it with a telephone book too. You could do it with a telephone book too. You could have the same things come up. The depth of Torah is not that there's a bunch of codes and, oh, you find the Holocaust and this and that, and, you know. Torah is much deeper than that. Torah is the wisdom of God. It's not a code book or a telephone book. Instead, so ideally, miracles, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying this is not the uniqueness and greatness of Torah, is not that you can have a code book that you can find a million different things in Torah. This part of, it's a minute, by the way, it happens to be a minute part of Torah. If anything, this Pshat and Remez and Drush and Sod, this is part of Remez. It's only one quarter of the Torah, even not a full quarter of Torah. Torah is much greater than this. Godliness is much greater than performing miracles. But when the Jews are on a very low level in Egypt, you can't come to the Jews and start explaining them great intellectual revelations of godliness because they're too low to understand it. So you have to wake them up, you start off with miracles. That's why, like it says, tzaddikim did miracles when they needed to do a miracle. They could have done a million more miracles. But stam to do miracles, they didn't do it. When they needed to impact somebody, influence somebody, for whatever reason it is, with a miracle, so they did a miracle. So Hashem is giving Moshe Rabbeinu a bunch of miracles. Said, listen, try miracle A. That doesn't work, do miracle B. That doesn't work, we'll go to miracle C. So he said, you have a stick turning into a snake, you have a hand becoming leprosy, and then you have the water becoming blood. But this is not really the ultimate thing of the Jews. The Jew is much deeper than that. Okay, so it says in Pasuk Yud, V'yemer Meshel Hashem, Meshel Rabbeinu said to Hashem, D'yadei Hashem, please my master. After all this, after all is said and done, yeah? Meshel Rabbeinu is still arguing with Hashem. He says, Le'ish dvarim anechi gam etmel gam mishol shem, I'm not a speaker, not from yesterday, not from 3 days ago. Gam me'oz d'berech al avdecho, from the day that you started speaking to me, I'm hard of speaking and hard of a mouth, meaning I speak very difficult, with difficulty, I don't say certain letters straight, and so on. He says, I don't understand, he said, it's an interesting thing, I once heard, when they opened the kollel there, they brought down a speaker from Eretz Yisrael. It was a beautiful thing. He asked the question, why is it that God is giving the Torah? Why is he giving it through a guy that doesn't know how to talk? He's not an orator. What's Moshe Rabbeinu telling God? God, I'm not a speaker. You know, I'm not an orator. Yeah, but the question is, if God wants to give the Torah, it should be through a great orator, a great speaker. Why is he given by a guy that barely talks? Is that a good thought? He said, if Moshe Rabbeinu was a good speaker, people would later come along and say, you know why the Jews accepted the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu was a good salesman, had a good pitch, and he spoke well, and that's why they accepted it. Hashem said, no, I don't want that. I'm going to get you a lousy salesman, a lousy orator, and I want you to accept Torah because Torah is good stuff, not because the presentation was good. But Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, listen, and by the way, Rashi quotes from the Medrash over here, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says, from yesterday, from 2 days ago, from the time you started speaking to me, Rashi says the Medrash learns, they're arguing 7 days. This discussion is going on for 7 days. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush, and if you take it, you know, just read it, it'll take you 10 minutes.
How do I know it took 7 days?
Because he's saying, because it says, Gam etmel, Gami shulshim, Gami oz daberchol avdecha. There's three times plus the word gam. Gam is an extra word, right? Mm-hmm. There's tmel, shulshim, Gami oz daberchol avdecha, right? Mm-hmm. Plus the three gams. So it says, they're arguing already, kol shiva sayamim. Every day for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is meeting Hashem at the burning bush. And every day Hashem is trying to convince Moshe Rabbeinu to go. And every day Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting with Hashem not to do it. And he says, what do you want from me? They're not going to understand me. Pare, you know, is not going to do it. So So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, listen, don't count me into this job, I can't do it. That's it, bottom line. So now Hashem is getting a little bit angry at him. Hashem says to Moshe, me some pela adam, who do you think makes people, who gives a mouth to a person? Me yosim ilein, a cheresh, a pikeach, iver, who makes somebody who is able to speak, or not to speak, or to be deaf, or to see, or to be blind? Halayanecha Hashem, I am God. Meaning, who told you, who made you speak when you're judging, when you killed the Egyptian and Pari was judging you? Who made you speak then? Am I not the God that makes you speak? What do you mean you can't go, you're not speaking? What do you mean you're not? I make you speak. If I want you to speak, or you'll speak. He's arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu that what do you think you could do? And why are you arguing with me? Hashem says as follows. I created all the mouths in the world. I am the one that taught you how to speak before Pare. I am going to make you see or blind. I'm going to make you deaf or be able to hear. So, stop it. Stop arguing with me. Va'ata lech, now go. Va'nechi impicha, and I will be with your mouth. Meaning, I will give you what to say. Ve'resicha she'tadaber, and I will teach you what to speak. So Hashem says, go, I will tell you what to teach. And he says like this. Adam Rishon, the day Adam Rishon was created, he knew all 70 languages. Not only did Adam Rishon know all 70 languages, but he knew the language of how to call all the animals. And nobody taught him how to speak. He didn't have a language class. He didn't have, what do you call those?
A baby.
No, when they teach you... Whatever. No, when they come and teach you, it's okay, whatever. Forget, like, they take kids, speech therapist, no? Adam Rishon didn't have a speech therapist, he didn't have a teacher teaching him 70 languages. Hashem said, Adam Rishon was created in one day, he knew 70 languages, he knew how to call all the animals' names. So, who gave it to him? Not me. So what, huh? Cliff Notes. He said, what's the problem over here that you're arguing with me?
Rabbi, was there anybody other than Moshe Rabbeinu that the God could have put in charge of the Jews leaving Egypt? Was there anybody there?
Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge.
I've ever heard mentioned when, you know, you learn this, you study this, you read this.
Moshe.
Other than Moshe.
Aaron, that's it.
Aaron?
Moshe and Aaron. Huh. The two brothers.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Mepharshim explain why Taka was Moshe Rabbeinu arguing so much. Why was he arguing so much? God told him to do it. Why didn't he just listen to God and do it? I mean, you know, that's it. The answer is Moshe wanted Aaron to do it because he was his older brother. And he had so much respect for his older brother, he wanted Aaron to be there, especially the fact, because he was 80 years sitting in Egypt learning Torah, studying Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was running governments in Midian and in sheep by Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was away almost close to 80 years. Okay, at least over 70, close to 70 years he was away. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, let Aaron do it. He's better than me, he's older than me, he's greater than me, let him do it. He didn't want to do it. There's a deeper lesson over here also, by the way.
His children were grown up when he came back to Egypt to perform all the miracles?
No, Eliezer, he had a bris on the way back in Egypt. He was just born.
With Sephora?
Yeah. You know the story of the angel coming and wanting to kill him?
Yeah.
No, that's because the kid was just born and didn't have a bris. So he was a baby. How much older was Gershom than Eliezer? I don't remember seeing anywhere.
So he was,
they're little kids.
80 years old and he just had a baby.
No, so?
That's what I know. It reminds me of the story of the soul of Sarah. I didn't know that.
Well, he was not a woman who was 90.
Doesn't matter still.
I understand, but in those days, Moshe Rabbeinu, even to the age of 120, was full strength.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his wife also.
I understand. She was probably younger. I don't know. I mean.
So he had two boys?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Eliezer?
Gershom.
Gershom
was older and Eliezer was younger. Mm-hmm. But there's a lesson, there's a deeper lesson over here also. You know, a lot of times, people want to make you a leader. You know, like a Rebbe, you know. Don't be so quick to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with Hashem, he doesn't want it. And you notice many of the tzaddikim, people accepted them as Rebbe. I mean, even the Rebbe, who became Rebbe right away, but officially he didn't accept it for a year, and he kept saying no, and no, and no, and no, and no. You know, the Chassidim accepted him right away. But, and he became Rebbe right away, obviously. But officially, to accept it, he didn't do it for a year because he kept saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. But you see this in Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, later there's a Medrash, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you think I'm giving you greatness?
Responsibilities.
I'm making your life miserable,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. I'm giving you difficulty. It's a responsibility of running a Jewish nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu, and again, like we learned, the whole story here of Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us what the definition of a leader is. A leader is not one that looks and wants the job. In fact, there's a Gemara in Seita that talks about the era before Mashiach. If you learn the Mishnah and you read, open a newspaper and learn the Mishnah, it's mamish, practically verbatim. The politicians have become znus houses, and they become corrupt, and they become this, and kids have chutzpah to parents, and the whole thing, you know, the whole spiel that's going on in today's world. One of the signs that Mashiach, in the era of Mashiach, the Mishnah says, Pnei hadar ki pnei hakelev.
Mm-hmm.
The face of the generation like the face of a dog. So the Rebbe explained, what does it mean? What does it mean? The leaders of the generation, like the Pnei HaKelev, like the face of a dog. So the Rebbe explained, it says in Sfarim, he said, that when you ever walk a dog, what does a dog do? It runs ahead, and then he turns around to see if the master is following him.
Mm-hmm.
And when the master catches up, the dog runs ahead, and again turns around to see who's following him. So the Rebbe said, that's the definition of the Mishnah leaders. That they're like dogs. They go ahead, you know, they do this, and then they see who's following me, you know, who's behind me. Rather than taking everybody together and moving up with them, like it says by Yeshua, Sheyeitel Lefneim, Ashetobel Lefneim, he's gonna go with them to, you know, to do things. They run ahead, and they see, okay, let me see how many suckers are following me. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the job. There's a story of Rebbe Marash, called in a chassid, and he said, I want you to become a sheikhet. I want you to become learn shechita. So, it says in Sfarim, by the way, number one in Yerush Shemayim is supposed to be the rabbi, and number two in Yerush Shemayim is supposed to be the sheikhet. That was like, the holy guy, number one is the rabbi, and number two is the sheikhet in the communities. So, the Rebbe Marash calls in this chassid, and he says, I want you to become a sheikhet. So he said, Rebbe, I'm afraid. I don't have enough Yiras Shemayim. I don't fear God enough. So the Rebbe Marash said to him, who should I take? A guy that thinks he is religious enough? That's the guy you want me to take? I want somebody that doesn't think he's religious enough because that's the religious guy. Then, the true definition of a leader is one that doesn't want to be. Yeah. Which one?
Choose one that I says I can't be a leader becomes a leader.
A true leader
is not somebody. I once read an article about the President of the United States.
Which one?
No, about the concept of President of the United States. This is when I was a kid. I mean, this, you're talking about 200 years ago when I was a kid. And the article said, why should anybody in their right mind want to be president? They say it like this. Money, you make more in the private sector than you do as president. Your life, forget it. Your life is finished. Everything you do is all over the world. There's no privacy. There's no, there's nothing. There's no life anymore. You don't have a private, normal life anymore. The only thing that you have from being president, you don't have anywhere else, is covet, honor. That's it. Money you don't make. Life you don't have. Everybody criticizes you. Everybody makes fun of you, you know. But what do you have covet? So they were laughing. Why should anybody in the right mind want to be a president? Why should anybody in the right mind want to be a leader? Why should anybody want to be a leader? And Meir should have been understood what it meant to be a Jewish leader. Not to be up there on a bankel and on a chair and, you know, get worshipped. Meir should have been understood the severity of it, and he keeps arguing with Hashem time after time. And not that Meir should have been who believed in Hashem, Kechas Hashem, less than us. You know, Hashem says go, no. Don't believe, no. Hashem says everything, he says no. And he still, after Hashem shows him three miracles, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along to God and says, after Hashem says already, who do you think makes people talk? Who do you think does it? I'm God, I'm going with you, yeah? He says in your base, go, I will be with you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, do me a favor. Send it in the hand of whoever you want to send. Rashi says, what is Shlachna Biatishlach? The one that you're normally accustomed to sending, Aaron. Another interpretation, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, listen, I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew. He's not going into Eretz Yisrael. You're sending the Jews out of Egypt to take him in Israel with the guy that's not going to end up in Israel. Send it and somebody that's going to take him all the way to do a complete job. Another interpretation, the Medrash says, Shlach no biat tishlach. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, what do you want from me? Send the Mashiach already. What do you want from my life? Send it with the hands of Mashiach. So now, after all this, Pasuk Yudalas says, Vayicharav Hashem, God got angry at him.
So how did you know about Mashiach?
Moshe Rabbeinu knew, he's a very smart man.
Well,
first of all, he's a Lubavitcher. So for sure,
you just made him one, huh?
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Rebbe.
Maybe he would have been the Mashiach. How would he know that he was?
If he would have taken the Jews into Israel, he would have been the ultimate Mashiach.
So he didn't want to be the Mashiach in one.
Huh?
He also refused to be the Mashiach in one.
But whatever, he knew because... And if you think about it, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu end up in Eretz Yisrael? Whose fault was it? The Jews.
The
Meraglim and then with the water. Yeah. If the Jews didn't complain,
he would have gone.
He would have gone.
But it wasn't because of him?
No.
He was part of it, right?
He already knew that he wasn't going to go in.
Yeah. What? In case nobody here knows.
Nobody knows anything.
Oh, no, I can't say that.
But
no,
you say nobody knows, that. Trust me.
This little point I want to make, that the President of the United States makes more money in 1 year than three quarters of the people of this country.
It changed.
So they can't say a president...
But he makes money more when he leaves the presidency.
Well, it depends what he goes into. Clinton is making more than what he...
Now everybody makes more.
And then I want to say one more thing, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Knowing... talking from the standpoint of the Marines, you didn't want to be a private. You wanted to go up to the ranks, become a sergeant, become a lieutenant, and the lieutenants wanted to be colonels, and the colonels wanted to be generals. So, I mean, that was probably true in the Army and the Navy and the Air Corps.
But not to be a Jewish leader. But not to be a Jewish leader, what? You can undo the negative.
You can undo the negative, right? So Moshe
Tshuva,
knowing that he wasn't going to Eretz Israel, isn't it possible, based on certain choices, could have changed the world positively. In other words, he could have ultimately ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Even though he had the inclination that he wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael, based on certain things that could have possibly happened.
But Moshe Rabbeinu did shuv and he still didn't go in.
No, but I'm saying because the people didn't do shuv. The people weren't ready.
So why couldn't he go in?
Lolita, help him.
So the answer is, there's a twofold answer.
Yeah.
Number one, and again, the concept of a leader. The true leader is a leader in life and death. A leader is not only a leader when you're alive. A leader remains a leader forever. Moshe Rabbeinu's flock that he took out of Egypt died in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if my flock, my chassidim, died in the desert, I die in the desert and stay with them. That's number one. Number two, Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to go in to Israel, again for the benefit of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, and he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu made was never destroyed. So if Moshe Rabbeinu went into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, God would not be able, so to speak, to destroy the temple. Then if the Jews were bad, Hashem would have to destroy the Jews. Now when the Jews were bad, God said, you're bad? Okay, I'm taking away the temple. But if he can't take away the temple, then he has to take away the Jews. So Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to come in. And that's why the Gemara says, Rashi quotes later in Chumash and Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 davenings. 515 times to God, let me go in. And he didn't say, let me go in, you know. He didn't say, no, let me go in. He said, he davened 515 times, let me go in. Where's God's mercy? Where's God's acceptance of tshuva? Where's God's acceptance of prayer? The answer is, God said basically, I can't let you in. It's not good for the Jews. Because if I let you in and the Jews sin, I'm going to have to destroy them instead of the building. Because you built the building. So Hashem said to Moshe, do me a favor. It's beneficial for the Jews. You stay here with them. Okay, let somebody else take him in. Let somebody else build the Beis HaMikdash. Let me destroy it and at least the Jews will stay alive.
And today what's happening?
Mashiach's on his way.
The Jews have been destroyed?
No.
Not completely?
No.
And the temple is...
We're as live and kicking as ever.
Do you want to come tomorrow to the Central Plaza? To see all the survivors of kicking forever?
No.
It's not so funny, right?
The Jews are existing.
They're all burned and with no eyes and...
I understand, but the bottom line is the Jewish nation... There is a Jewish nation existing.
Well, we exist, you know. There is a way of existing. We don't exist per se very nicely right now.
Why? We have a country. We have Jews in very powerful positions around the world. We have Jews.
We're threatened
because the Jews are threatening themselves. The Jews are threatening themselves. The only one that can destroy the Jews, the only ones that they can destroy... The only ones that can destroy the Jews are the Jews themselves. Nobody else in the world can destroy us.
But meanwhile, they're succeeding.
No, they're not. They're not.
Half.
What do you mean half?
I mean, a lot of people are not doing very well in Israel. It's a reality. I mean, it's...
That doesn't mean the nation as a whole is remaining.
What is worse, assimilation with the Jews or Jews dying as a Jew?
It's very easy for us to talk.
I know, but
you go speak with a woman who lost two children.
So
God forbid, nobody's knocking that.
Tomorrow. Go speak to her and just see.
What is worse, assimilation or dying as a Jew? I'd rather die as a Jew than
we have assimilation also, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying... What I'm saying is that right now, the punishment is here. I think we've been punished.
These are the last birth pains, which are the most severe, right before the birth. Right? You know when a woman has the baby? When she screams, I can't handle it anymore. That's when the baby comes out.
hope so.
Not I hope so, that's the fact. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu is still arguing with Hashem, and he says, listen, God, stand it, don't stop bugging me. Okay, you know, we'll stop here.